We're in the fourth out of five sermons, messages about who we are, who we want to become as we live into what God's called us to be as a congregation. Just so you know, we're gonna deal with intentional mission this week. Next week, we're going to talk about faithful stewardship. And then beyond that, I'm not 100% sure yet, but if you'd like to know what's going on or read ahead, I think we'll begin to work through the book of Colossians. So if that's something that you'd like to have a little bit of background and you want to start ahead of us on, I'm pretty sure we're going to go through Colossians after February 10th. We have been dealing with who are we? What has God called Mauganville Bible Brethren Church to be? What has He called us to become? How do we live out His biblical mandates of making disciples and teaching all that we taught? And we've been looking back over the last 2 years. Our vision was this is who we want to be, and we've been going down that road 2 years, and we're stopping and going, okay, let's take a look at the map. Where have we come, and how far do we have to go? Do we have to reroute? Do we have to change things? And so we've been looking at these things through our core values. What are the characteristics that we want to have as a people? And today I want to talk to you about us having the characteristic of being intentional missionaries, that one of our characteristics is intentional mission. The heart of this is just a simple biblical principle, and it's this: God has created us to display His character. So I want you to hold on to that truth. There's all kinds of places in Scripture that prove it, but the foundational thing that you need to know today is God has created us to display His character. I want you to think about Genesis. Go ahead and open it up. It'll be up on your screen here. In Genesis, you're going to see when God decides to cap off creation. He has organized the chaos. He has taken what was without form and void and dark and deep and chaotic, and He has organized the world. He's organized the heavens and the earth. He's organized the land and the sea. He's filled the sea and the skies, and he's created vegetation and livestock. And He's made this wonderful creation that expresses His character. And then God gets to this place now, and He goes, okay, let us make man in our image. The capstone of creation, the pinnacle of creation, is when God says, let us make man in our image. That word, gang, for image is actually idols. You know, where we're not supposed to have idols, right? Because what are idols? Idols are representation of gods. And God says, I don't want you to worship any other gods, so don't have any other fake little gods around. Only worship me, right? And the same thing, when God created us, He created us to be little representatives of Him. The only ones that He wanted to have dominion and stewardship over creation are those who would look and act and speak and think like Him. So when God created us, He created us in His image, after His likeness. And God said, now go. Show the world, show all of creation who I am. And that was great. Until Adam and Eve selfishly go, you know what? We think we'd rather show the world who we are. And they didn't trust God anymore, and they disobeyed God. And so instead of being created to display God's character, they became selfish and wanted to display their own. And if you don't think I'm right, think of the Tower of Babel. What that selfishness does, do you remember what they decided? They said, let us make a name for ourselves. So what sin did, if sin ruins humanity, humanity was created to display God's character, and sin rewires us so we go, we want to display our own selfishness. We want to display our own character, not God's character. And so what God says is, okay, that's fine, but I still have created you to display my character. So what God does around Genesis 12 is He calls Abraham. And He says, Abraham, I am going to turn you into a nation. I'm going to turn you into a father of many people. And that family, which will become a nation, will display my character. How you talk, how you relate to each other, how you deal with your neighbor, how you deal with me, God says, will show the world who I am. I've created you, Israel, to display my character. Well, if you read your Old Testament, you see that it seems they got that wrong more than they got it right. And so even though humanity was created to display God's character, and God called Abraham to make a people that displayed God's character, sin and selfishness still prevailed. So God sent Himself. He sent the Word, Jesus Christ, who came down, died on the cross for our sins, destroyed selfishness, the power that it has over us. And then the Holy Spirit comes into us and recreates us. And Jesus says in Acts chapter 1:8, He gives us the reason. So that you will be my witnesses. You'll have the Holy Spirit, and it will embolden you and empower you to go out and be my witnesses. And what are we witnessing? We're witnessing the character of God. So gang, just, if you didn't follow that or you didn't care, just trust me on this. A foundational truth of who we are is that God has created us to display His character. And that's why our vision statement, if Chauncey, if you could pull our vision statement up for us, that's why our vision statement is so important. Our vision is to become a community that what? Reflects God's character. A community that shows whoever we're around the truth about God. A community that when people see us, they get to know Chad and they get to know you, but what they really get to see is a God who has created, called, and redeemed people to look like Him and express the truth about who God is through their words and their thoughts and their deeds. So that's what we want to be when we grow up. A people who reflect God's character, who display the truth about God. So one of the characteristics then that we want to obtain so that we can become this kind of people that shows the world who God is that we want to become intentional mission. Well, what's mission? What's our purpose? I think if you would ask across the board for most churches, John Calvin said this, and I think it's a great quote, that the mission of the church is to make the invisible reign of Jesus Christ visible. And so that's how we're framing what our mission is. So our mission is to make the invisible God known. Right? That's what most churches want to do. They want people to know who God is. What makes mission intentional? What makes mission, what the difference between just let's just say we're going to make God known and what we want to be as a people? Intentional mission is when we understand that the ordinary moments in our life are opportunities to make the invisible God known. I want you to think about that for a minute. And Chauncey, if you could pull that one up, the one that says intentional mission for us, brother. Intentional mission is when we understand that the everyday ordinary moment is an opportunity to make the invisible God known to the people that surround us. Right? If God created us to display His character, and that's our purpose, right? How many books have been written on purpose? How many conversations have been had with counselors, professional and unprofessional, with who go, I just don't know what I was made for. What am I supposed to do? Well, it is simple, gang. We were all created to make God known, to display His character to anybody that comes across. And a lot of times we get caught up in the, well, I have to go somewhere to do it. I got to go to Guatemala to show the Guatemalans who God is. I got to go down to reach and show the people who God is. And we think of this mission for us becomes this set apart time where we leave our normal routine, create a special routine, and just focus completely on giving people the gospel. That's a good mission. But what Morgansville wants to be when we grow up is that we understand every moment is a moment of mission for us. Everywhere we are is a moment of mission for us. Every time we move and breathe, whether it be through a grocery store, whether it be at school, whether it be at work, whether it be at a ball game, whether it be in our backyard, every single moment is a mission moment for us. An opportunity to make the invisible God known. So, how can that be? Well, it can be because our God is sovereign. You guys have probably heard that word before, sovereign. What sovereign means is that God has all authority. There is not a single place on this earth that you can go to where God doesn't have authority. There is not a single person on this earth that you can find, whether they acknowledge it or not, that God does not have authority over. God is the creator and the owner and has authority over everything. It's part of being God. So, he also is all powerful. So he's got authority everywhere, and he's got unlimited power, so he can do whatever he wants. And so that same God is always moving. We say he's provident. He's moving and doing things whether we see him or acknowledge him. And if we have an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, all-authority God, what it means for us, church, is there's no coincidences. That even the ordinary moments are ordained moments. It's not like God goes, oh, cool, Chad showed up at the grocery store the same time as John. Well, I think I can do something now. No, our all-powerful, all-authority, all-knowing, all-present God goes, I'm going to make sure Chad and John end up at the grocery store at the same time. And I'm going to use that moment to forward my kingdom. God can do that because of his characteristics. And what we want to be as a people at Morgansville is a people who recognize that. A people who realize it is never a coincidence when I stand amongst a group of people. Whether it's the same people that are beside my cubicle every day, or whether it's the people that I'm seeing for the first time ever and I'll never see again in Hershey Park. That every moment is an ordained moment where God knew and placed not only you in that position, but he placed everyone around you in that position. And again, what's our purpose? To make the invisible God known. God put you in that line at the grocery store to make the invisible God known. God put you in the car that got cut off on the highway to make the invisible God known. God put that horrible referee on the court while you're playing and get a horrible call or no call so that you can make the invisible God known. God put that horrible, so hard to work with, so stubborn person in the cubicle next to you so that you can make the invisible God known. God gave you those children so that they would have friends who have parents who sit next to you at the ball game so you can make the invisible God known. Do you see the pattern there, guys? Intentional mission means that we see every opportunity that is before us. That there is a sovereign, provident God moving in the background and orchestrating things so that people get to know him and fall in love with him and are redeemed by him. And our job, our tool, our purpose in all this is to represent him, is to care about his reputation, is to surrender to him so that our words and our actions look like Yahweh. They look like Jesus Christ. That we are little idols. And the world sees representations of the true God. And you don't have to go to another country to do it. You don't have to go serve at the rescue mission to do it. That's the kind of the binding characteristics we want to be. Is that we realize as a people that we are always missionaries. And our mission is to reflect and display the character of God in a way that people will get to know who he is. And we realize that it is never a coincidence who is in front of us or who is surrounding us. That God is using everyone in that way. I want to drive this home. I want to show you some examples from the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it tells the story. Luke wrote two books, and the second book is the story of the church age. When Jesus ascends into heaven and he gives the ministry of reconciliation, when he gives the ministry of making God known to the church. What Jesus had been doing has now been given to the apostles. The apostles will then give it to the other disciples they make. And those disciples are the church. And Acts tells that story. Well, while all the apostles and all the leaders of the church at the time are still in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension, there was one guy named Stephen. And Stephen was on fire for Jesus. And Stephen was preaching, and Stephen was teaching, and Stephen was showing everybody who Jesus was. Well, of course, the leaders of the synagogues didn't like it. Rome doesn't like it. Here's a mob, a rebel rouser going, and so they arrest Stephen. And Stephen lays out one of the most beautiful sermons that you're ever going to see. And he goes the whole way back to the beginning, and he lays out that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the promised one from way back in Genesis chapter 3. And they look at him, and they go, get him. Scripture says they actually close their ears and they chase him, right? They come in on him, one mind. They want to get him. They chase him out of town, and they stone him. And as they are stoning him, Stephen says, I see heaven opened up. And as they are stoning him to his death, he says, God, just have mercy on them and forgive them of what they're doing. Off to the side is this young student theologian named Saul of Tarsus. And he was guarding all the witnesses that were there because they thought they understood the law in Deuteronomy. All the witnesses are there laying their coats down. And Saul of Tarsus is agreeing with, let's stone Stephen for his heresy. And he's standing there as the coat check boy for all these people that are stoning Stephen. And he's there watching Stephen as Stephen is getting beat and pummeled and killed. And he says, I see heaven opened up. And Stephen says, forgive them. After this, persecution hits the church. The church can't stay in Jerusalem anymore. What happened to Stephen was this movement now of pressure that was going to come down from the Jews, and they were going to use Rome. And so now it wasn't safe to be a Christian in Jerusalem, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So they spread all over. And one of the guys that leaves, his name is Philip. And Philip, because of this persecution of Stephen, Philip is going somewhere, and the Holy Spirit comes and says, no, Philip, I need you to go somewhere else. And when Philip is heading that way, he runs into an Ethiopian. And this Ethiopian is reading Scripture. Now, he's sitting beside him, right? God has moved, so he's beside him. And the Ethiopian goes, man, I just don't understand this passage in Isaiah. I just don't get it. Philip goes, well, you want me to explain it to you? Yes, I do. And Philip explains the passage and how it's talking about eventually the deliverer named Jesus Christ. And he explains to him what Jesus Christ has just recently done in his death, resurrection, and ascension. And the Ethiopian looks and he goes, well, I should be baptized then. And they stop right there. And they find a puddle deep enough and they baptize him. The very next story Acts tells us is that man who saw Stephen, a man named Saul of Tarsus, who saw Stephen be stoned and witnessed Stephen's faith, decided he was going to go out and persecute the church. And along the road, Jesus meets him, changes his life, changes his direction, appears to him and says, Saul, you're now Paul. You're now an apostle, and I'm going to use you to take the gospel to people that have never heard it. That's like just two chapters in Acts. But what those chapters demonstrate is that God is using every day and what seems to be ordinary, coincidental to the rest of the world things to move his plan forward. That Paul would see Stephen's faith and be able to use it later as a reminder and encouragement of who he's supposed to be now. That the church would have to run because of persecution, but the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-provident God goes, yeah, you're not running because of persecution. You're running home and you're going to take the gospel with you. And now it is going to spread like wildfire, not just in Jerusalem, but all over the world. That God would say, Philip, I'm using you as a missionary right here because I have an Ethiopian I'm sending to Ethiopia and he needs you to explain the scriptures and explain Jesus so then when he goes home, I'm going to use him in the same way. And his family and his country and his neighbors are going to find out the truths about the invisible God and make him known. This is what God does, gang. He is always putting us in positions to be used by him to make himself known. We have a God who is always working for the good of those who believe. You know that passage in Romans 8:28? But that passage strings together some important words. Those who are called, those who he predestined, those who he conformed, those that would later say whom he would glorify. What that means, guys, this passage sums up beautifully. God has a purpose and a will for all of us. And he, before time began, said, I am going to call him, I'm going to call her. And I'm going to call them to me, and then I'm going to justify. I know they're sinful creatures, but I will die for them. And when I look at them, I will see my son. And then I'm going to shape them. And notice what they become conformed to? God's image. The whole thing we were created to be. The image, the idols of Yahweh. That wherever we are, people will see the truths and the characteristics of our God. So if we're intentional missionaries, so what, Pastor? What does that mean? It means that as we trust God and we get to know him better, that we believe every situation we're in, God has already known about. Every situation we find ourselves, that God is working whether we see him or not. And in every situation and circumstance we find ourselves, that God is going to use us somehow for his glory and his reputation. So for us, intentional missionaries mean there are no coincidences. But an intentional missionary understands that the everyday, ordinary moments and circumstances of our lives are always opportunities to make the invisible God known to all those people God has put around us. So how can you do that at work? How can you do that as a parent? How can you do that as a friend? How can you do that as a student, as a teacher? How can you do that as a neighbor? How can you do that as a shopper? How can you do that as the clerk who works at the register? How will you let yourself be used every moment, reflecting and yielding and letting God mold you and shape you into this idol that represents him? So that other people might get to know him. That's a characteristic of who we want to be. That's a characteristic of a church that will reflect the character of God so that people are led to the truth, transformed by the Holy Spirit, and fall in love with Jesus Christ. That's a church that will complete the mission to make the invisible God known. Would you pray with me? Let's ask God to do that.